don't want to know what's in the box. This is Paul. I see I'm the only adult here.
Oh, well, that's true. It's very true. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Core. This is Core, the Heroes of the Storm podcast that you missed. Well, no, you didn't miss one last week. We did one, plus a bonus. What am I saying? We haven't left off at all here. We did a show last Wednesday. We did a show last Wednesday. Okay, and then, was it Wednesday? No, because I left Wednesday. It was the Tuesday. What did we do?
No, we did one Wednesday, I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, I was on a plane Wednesday.
I was, too. I flew. So did we not do a show last week? I thought we did.
No, we just did an interview. We did an interview.
We didn't do a show last week?
I could have sworn we did a show last week. Why do I feel like we did a show?
It felt like we did a show.
Maybe it's because Wednesday was travel day. And it just felt like a day that
we might have spent a lot more time together this year.
Yeah.
That was different from the year before.
Oh, lots more time together. Yeah. Very intimate time with one another. Our naked writhing bodies till the wee hours of the morning, that sort of thing. Just kidding. None of that's true. But we did, we went, we came, we conquered, we came back, and now we're back. And we're going to do a show here for you in the, and we're going to bask in the light that is the Orphea announcement. There are a lot of people out there that think I was going to get that name wrong the first time I said it. I may have screwed it up a few times at BlizzCon, but not now. Not here. I got it. I got it down. And we got our hands on her. We got to play her a whole bunch. That sounded creepy. I'll just say we got to play the new character a whole lot in a video game, and she's great. I think we're all kind of unified in that. We'll get to kind of her whole thing here in a minute. She's on the PTR currently. If you're playing PTR, then you kind of probably already know this. But she is really, 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 really great, and we got a chance to play her in the streaming area zone thing. Big thanks to Lashes. Oh, who's in the chat, by the way? I just noticed. She was fantastic, by the way. She's like our handler. We go in there and she's like, hey, make sure you go to this thing and do that thing. And she was very generous and nice. As always, they gave us these cool jackets. I'd be wearing mine, except it's in the laundry right now because it got real dirty on the trip.
Well, you just got it. What'd you do to it?
Well, I just wore it in the sweaty day. We had that sweaty day.
Yeah, I washed mine too, Bo.
Yeah, Bo, what are you doing with your jackets? You should wash it.
Do you sweat through your shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't.
Well, what do you do? Do you just turn red like a turkey and a little popper goes out, or what happens there with you?
Wait, what?
Are we talking about laundry, or are we talking about...
Sorry, I don't sweat a lot, but when I do... It's usually after a long period of what I like to call the turkey moment or the turkey stage, which is just I turn all red and I don't really sweat. I just am red like a turkey's cooking. And then I always think of that little popper when you're a kid. Your mom has the little plastic turkey popper in the turkey. And when it's done, it goes, pops out. And that's when you know the turkey's done. Has no one ever done this?
I was thinking of something else entirely.
Oh, you had your mind in another place. I see how it is. The turkey popper. People know what the popper is. We've heard of this, right? There's a little thing, a little popper goes, doop, and then it says...
You don't get to say people know what this is and just assume that that's a truth because you said it.
I can't be the only one. Chat room, back me up. The turkey thing. Waddle? It's not called a waddle. What are they... That's the little thing
that hangs down, that's the waddle.
No, this is a little plastic, like looks like a little firework. And you jam it into the turkey anywhere, like its thigh or whatever. You cook it, and the thing is set to not... there's like a little... You push it all the way in. It's like depressed all the way, so it's flat, flush against the turkey. When it's cooked enough so that the meat is thoroughly cooked, the popper thing, the little point of it goes, dook, because it somehow it knows. I don't know. And that's your sign that, oh, it's time to take the turkey out. You cooked it long enough. Chat room saying pop-up timer. That's what they're saying.
Now we use electric thermometers.
I think you're right. Well, no, we do now. I'm saying when I was a little kid, that was a thing. And my mom would like pull it out and she'd go, all right, well, who wants this? And I'd be like, nobody wants that, Mom. It's a piece of plastic that's been in a turkey's ass. I don't want that. But anyway, here's the important bit of what I was getting to. Okay. I'm convinced that one of if not the hardest working person at Blizzard right now is probably Bethany. She kicks freaking trash for the Heroes team and now does stuff for the Diablo team. I don't know how she's spreading herself that thin, but she's awesome. And I just wanted to give her a shout out. I was doing this whether she was here or not. This is not us just throwing flourish at her because she's in the chat. I didn't think she'd be here. But I just wanted her to know how awesome she is with this particular community. And I know that me and other podcasters, other streamers, everybody involved in this stuff, they really feel her commitment, and it's awesome. So you're making the other teams look bad is the other thing I'm saying. The rest of them just kind of suck.
Let's not do that now.
Well, I'm not saying she has to agree. I'm just saying I don't feel the same heat from some of the other folks as I do from her. Anyway,
you know the only shame though.
What?
What's the only problem?
What?
Is that she can't now share this with her coworkers because she doesn't want all that turkey talk that's surrounding the compliment.
No, I agree. Turkey poppers have ruined the entire conversation. I completely agree. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast feed, you heard Bo's and John's fantastic interview that happened. I guess that would have been on Saturday. I was
with
in the middle.
K.O. Melker.
K.O. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Possible. We have our theories about what his new job might be one day. I'm not saying he even has a new job. I'm just saying it's completely in my own head, but we've talked about it. I think that guy, I just think he'd be a good lead for the team. That's all. I think he's got the right energy, right get up and go. Anyway, I like that guy. So you guys had fun doing that. I was in the middle of this Blizzard meeting thing deal, and couldn't be there, but I'm really glad that you guys were able to do it, and it turned out great. And if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to the last episode on the podcast feed, and you'll hear it. It was very good. And John's phone did a fine job. I was worried about audio quality, but it sounded great. So
yeah, it did good. Mm-hmm. For an app that I downloaded literally a minute before we went in to talk
the,
to
the him. Only, oh, sorry. The only problem with the interview was I put my phone down too. But I didn't record. So I don't know why I did that. I should have put it in my pocket because it goes off like four times. And it rings and I'm like, oh, crap. And I mute it. And then it vibrates out of the thing. And I'm like, why didn't they think of putting it in my pocket?
That's awesome.
I got a phone too.
Yeah, you thought you had a quadraphonic sound setup, but really you didn't. You just had one phone that received text and then John's that recorded. That's fantastic.
Here's our recording device and also my cell phone.
Yeah, indeed. But it went well, and you should hear it, everybody. Seriously, I went and listened to it, and it was fantastic, and I was bummed that I couldn't be in there. But another huge thanks. I heard from a lot of Heroes people that came to the WoW Q&A that I moderated, and I think that went well, and I hope you had a good time there if you were there. And thanks for your support there because that was nice. I needed it and made a much less stressful situation to know that we had some frog pantry scattered throughout that venue there. So it worked out good.
You did an incredible job on the WoW Q&A. Well, I know you're not gonna toot your own horn, so I'm gonna toot it for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it was the best Q&A of all time.
Bo is tooting my horn. I like that visual for some reason.
It was good. Yeah. Not just even for the Chris Meissen part, which was epic. It was very professionally handled.
Well, I'll tell you the weird thing about it. When I got up in there, I thought I was going to be really nervous because that's what you probably should be. Easily the biggest in room crowd I've ever stood in front of, and certainly at home, people watching crowd. And also very, what's the word? It's a crowd that's very interested in what these devs are about to say. They follow the game very closely. They're super, super hyper interested in what's going on with World of Warcraft. And I should have, by all accounts, been just terrified. And the weirdest thing happened. I got up behind stage, and we were all lined up, and we'd all just sort of been talking back there. And then the music started, and I saw the crack of light of the thing, and she opened it, and it all went away. It, like, just went, pah. I was fine. I walked out super chill, never felt nervous, never felt weird, wasn't scared, wasn't shaken, nothing. And I can't explain that because that's, like, the opposite of what I probably should have felt, but... Anyway, it worked out.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I do have a question on this, though.
Please.
Did you watch it, or are you like, no, I can't watch this?
Oh, I watched it. Just curious. I watched it because one of my kids couldn't, she had the virtual ticket, but she couldn't get the right connection. She was at a hotel that weekend or over the weekend, and they had crappy internet. So I watched it with her, and I thought I was going to hate it because I don't want to see myself up there.
Right. I can understand that.
Yeah. But it was fine. In fact, it's, you know, they do such a good production job. Like the lighting's good. The makeup's good. Like you can actually look a lot better than you may look in real life up close. And I think they did fine that way. I feel weird whenever I'm the tallest person in a group of anything. It makes me feel weirdly self-conscious. So that part kind of threw me a little bit.
Oh, well, good. They let you stand, too. So
yeah, they had me stand. But when we all walked out, I realized, oh, my gosh, they're all shorter than me. And it's fine. It's okay. I just feel like such a lerp. But anyway, it went really well, and I'm really grateful that I even had the opportunity. But one of the highlights of the show for me was plopping down in that streaming station and playing Orphea to our heart's content for a good couple of hours. And she's really fun to the degree I didn't expect. I kind of expected, I don't know what I expected. Well, we'll get to all that. But real quick, we should talk just briefly about any other things that happened at BlizzCon that we think are worth mentioning. Bo, for example.
Maybe not. Don't start with me.
All right. Because your eavesdropping story, I'm still confused about it. At some point, you're going to have to explain this.
Maybe it's for later in the show. I'm just having second thoughts.
Okay.
Basically, some people had a one-night stand, and they were chatting real loud about it behind me in the Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I caught a piece of this the other day, and I went, what did you hear, dude?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, on second thought, yeah, no. Well, that happened. That was this year's weird thing for me.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's my quick take on everything that isn't Heroes, because we'll get into that in depth. I think Warcraft 3 Reforged is super cool. Very surprised by that game. And I have a few things to say.
I was shocked how much I liked it.
Yeah, me too. That came, first of all, it was a huge surprise. No idea it was coming. I guess if they have an entire team dedicated to Classic, we should probably assume a lot of this stuff is coming. But I didn't know it was going to be now. And I didn't know it was going to play as well as it does and look as good as it does. Like all of that stuff threw me for a loop. But that was really cool. Very excited for more of that. Security was terrible. I freaking hated it. They were the worst. That's not Blizzard's fault. That's third-party security company fault, and they sucked. I hated them. And I have 50 stories about those guys. I'm not telling them all here. Diablo was disappointing announcement-wise, but kind of fun once you played it. That is Diablo Immortal. There's not much left to say that hasn't already been smeared all over the internet, so I'm not going to do it here, but I'll just say, pretty disappointing announcement and pretty tone deaf announcement, and then a pretty okay game, and then a really terrible player reaction after that I don't think equaled the tone deafness of the announcement.
I've been catching up on what you've been saying, and I do have a little thing to say on that.
Go.
I don't think it was wrong for them to announce it at BlizzCon. I don't think it was tone deaf. I think we agree on all points, Scott, but I'd say I think that is the place to announce it. I think that was okay.
It's okay that's the place. Like, my problem isn't that they chose that as the venue or the place. My problem is that they, and I'm not saying this is even Wyatt, whatever the messaging is from on top, I think was wrong. And that messaging is go out and go through all the same talking points and go through the same steps that you would normally for a hyped up announcement. And I don't think that worked on a very PC centric kind of anti-mobile crowd or a crowd that was chomping at the bit for something Diablo related that would fit more in what they wanted. And so I think that they should have known that more going into it. They probably did, but still just kind of did the corporate sales job. And I think they could have done something better, like, even if it was just, hey, we got a bunch of stuff in the works. Most of it we can't even tell you about. We can't wait to show you, though, because we're stoked and it's awesome and you're all going to love it. In the meantime, we got this going. Roll the tape. That would have been fine with me. I think that would have made it a better experience for people and they wouldn't have felt so pandered to. That being said, I don't have any problem with people being disappointed with it. My problem was, I got a death threat on Twitter. for saying that the game's good, for actually liking that mobile game demo that we played, because I did, I liked it, and I'm excited for it to come to phones because I'm going to play it. I thought it was really good, and especially for what it is and what format it is, it was way better than I expected. Even John, even our own John, who is, you know, adamantly opposed to such things, played the demo and went, it wasn't that bad. That's almost rousing endorsement if you consider where John's coming from. Like, it's possible to actually see the hard work that goes into something and respect what it is and know that you may not play it or that it's not for you because you don't like the interface or whatever the reasons are. My problem was death threats and burn it all down and petition for Blizzard to cancel and they're the worst and they're falling apart and I hate them and horrible behavior, toxic behavior from the community outweighed any of it for me, and it really pissed me off. So
yeah, that was wrong. That was bad. And it's just completely, I don't care what, if Blizzard, I don't think they made a mistake personally. And even if they did, it still just doesn't excuse it.
I totally agree with that.
It's just a game announcement. Like, it's not a big deal. And even if they didn't say it was even if Blizzard said, hey guys, we're taking time off of Diablo 4 to develop a mobile game. There's no scenario where that kind of behavior is acceptable.
Yeah, there's nothing they could have done.
Discourse is acceptable.
Yeah.
Vitriol and review bombing trailers and stuff like that. It's just, it's dumb.
No,
dumb for doing it. Completely agree. I'm sorry to say it, but it's dumb.
Send Bo one of your death threats because I'm sick of getting them. We've had two now. I don't want any more.
Yeah.
I mean, just dumb old me getting a death threat. Imagine what like some of those devs are getting. It's so lame. I can't believe we go to those lengths. But anyway, and Twitter ended up kicking that one guy off, so I won that little fight. What else? I played Heroes there and liked it a lot. We'll talk more about that later. I already said that. I thought the Overwatch video was great. Liked everything about that. I never did get a chance to really play Ashe. I got 2 seconds to move the mouse around and stuff at one point, but then had to run somewhere, so I really didn't get to do much with her. I never saw Bob as an ult, but I think he sounds amazing. Warcraft-wise, so, cool lore and all that, but we already kind of know where we're at with WoW. So on the whole, I had a great time. The biggest bummer of the entire show was the security stuff was just really rancid. But the high point of the show was being able to do that panel, and everything kind of took over my brain for that, and it was hard for me to think of much else. But here's my favorite thing that happened the entire con. So now you've heard it all. Here's what I think was the most funny thing I saw during the whole convention, and it involves Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and here's how it went. We're having breakfast. The con's already over. It's Sunday morning, okay? Everyone's flying out that day or thereabouts. You guys were going to Disneyland. I was flying out around noon. Everybody had their thing. And we met up for breakfast, celebrated Randy's birthday, got to see everybody, talk, whatever. Great dinner the night before. Lots of laughs there, too. But something about this moment will stick in my mind forever. And it's when our nice waitress, our server, Edith, came to the table. And she says, we'll be serving you. I'm Edith. This is America. Let us know if we can, you need anything else. And I look over at Bo's face, and he has this face of total like, wait a minute. And he didn't actually see the lady who's named America. It's a common name for some people. American McGee was one of the people who worked at id Software and made all kinds of video games. Anyway, not that unusual of a name, but Bo, I could tell on Bo's face that something wasn't clicking right. And at some point, he leans up to Edith as she's walking past him like this with his back. And says, America's a person, right? And we laughed our heads off. I thought that was so freaking funny. But it was also poetic. Because then everybody's like, that's right, Bo. America is a person. I'm an American. You're an American. Like it was.
I didn't see her. I didn't see her.
I know. It was just really funny and endearing.
And she flourished. Edith flourished with her hand. She said, I'm Edith. I'll be your server.
This is America.
You see the way I'm moving my hand? Yeah. And this is America. And now she probably was pointing to America, but it looked like she was waving to everything. This is America.
It's so good.
She didn't just do that to us, right? Like, we don't all look like foreigners.
No, but it was really a funny, endearing moment. And it made me and Kim and everybody laugh their heads off. So the con was great, and it really was. It's always at its best. This is true every year. It's at its best all 8 years I've gone when you're with friends and you're and you have time where you can chat and talk and sometimes yell over loud music, but still kind of communicate and hook up with people that you would normally just have sort of an internet relationship with, and that's always my favorite. So to sum it up, good BlizzCon, terrible security, but great BlizzCon. Nice job, guys.
My funniest moment, I think, was when Terpster told me to stop staring at his mustache.
He told you to stop staring at it?
Yeah, he said it right across from you. Maybe you weren't paying attention, but he had a few drinks.
Oh, and
I couldn't help it. His mustache is so perfectly like a ramp that you could skate off of or something. I just kept looking at it. He's like, hey, why don't you stop looking at my mustache or whatever? Yeah. I was like, oh, shit.
I don't know what that accent was, but I'll take it. Yeah, no, he's always got a couple of alcoholic beverages stewing, and we'll say things. He showed up. He was a surprise stand up and ask a question thing at the Q&A. I didn't expect that at all, and it's one only regret I really have is I didn't make some sarcastic quip about that mustache he's got, because my mind wanted to say, get out of here, you pedophile. That's what I felt like saying, because he's got that, you know, it's kind of a pedophile mustache. In the stereotypic way, but instead I should have just said, like, I don't know, nice stash, Terps, or something like that. But then my brain went, no, you can't point out that he's a co-host on a show with you, or else people are going to call bias and stuff like that. And I got all thinking about that too much.
You did the right thing. I mean, as like cynical and as goofy as he's going to be, I'm sure it still means something. It's somewhere deep in that center that he gets to go up and ask a question. So by not undercutting his moment, you actually did the right thing.
Yeah, it went fine.
It would have been, it's fun to I know that you have fun poking fun at him on instances and stuff, but I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, it was good. It was great to see him as well. He wasn't there last year, had a new baby this year. He was there, and it was great to see him as always. John, what was you have any highlights you want to mention, talk about?
Well, I guess all anybody really wants is me to talk about Diablo Immortal, considering the amount of tweets I got about the subject after its announcement and since. And I haven't talked about it at all. I put up one, you could probably read into it a little bit, tweet. But other than that, I've left it alone. I haven't said one thing except to you guys personally about it.
Sure.
And so I guess, you know, I would join you in saying that for the closing moments of BlizzCon, for it to be a mobile game, which my opinion of mobile games has been made very clear on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was disappointing. You know, I was certainly not excited about it. We all had a good laugh about it. It was good to be around friends who were gonna, you know, pick me up when I was like, ah, come on, they're ending on this, really? But then it turned really vitriolic online. And all of a sudden I started to get that guilty by association thing that you get sometimes where people are really going ham with their anger, and you're like, well, I'm disappointed, but I'm not angry.
Right.
So I kind of just don't want to be associated with these people now. Like,
see, you're dumb. Like, sorry.
I just,
you're ashamed of what yourselves.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be a part of it, because I think everybody out there who's disappointed or upset or whatever, you got every right to be. I'm not going to tell anybody, hey, don't feel that. I was there with you.
Yeah.
But the problem is that people don't manage that right. They don't just take it in and say, you know what, it's okay for me to be upset. It's okay for me to be mad and angry and disappointed and let down. They have to turn it into a public debate. And they have to find someone that's accountable and rake them through the coals. And they have to put down anybody that disagrees with their position, because darn it, they're right. And everybody else has to be wrong. You know, it's a personal feeling. You can't be wrong. If you were let down, you were let down. That's just the truth. You don't need to say, well, they should have done what Bethesda did and put up just a thing saying we're working on it. And then when they said, well, you know, they put out that press release that kind of said that, said, well, then that's not the point. The reason I'm really mad is that they alluded to it, and that's the whole reason I went to BlizzCon, and then they didn't show it.
Yeah.
You know, people just kept jumping from one reason to another, to another, to another. And what that tells me is that it's not about any of those reasons.
Yeah.
That it's actually about a person just being disappointed and let down and not managing it correctly. And so I'm just going to tell everybody out there, yeah, I played it. It was okay. By the time the demo ended, I was like, yep, that's as much time as I wanted to spend doing this. So that is the perfect length of the demo, because I am done.
Yep.
I don't know if I will play much of the game. I don't know if I will even download it. But I know the game that I want is coming, and I will continue to wait for it, just like I have been.
Right.
And that's easy enough to do because I've been waiting this long already. And there's also a crap ton of games that I haven't gotten to that I want to play. You just move on.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting there and you're saying, oh, I'm just so mad, decide if it's worth just severing your ties to Blizzard as a company and not giving them any money and not giving them any attention. And if it is, then do it. And if it isn't, then just say, you know what? Yeah, I'm let down. I'm disappointed. I wish it had gone a different way, but that's fine. We'll get over it. I'll focus on other things.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to be.
Yeah, that's, you said it really well. That's where I'm at. And also, anyone who tells me they want to burn it down and salt the earth, the minute 4 comes out, or whatever 4 is called, they're playing it. In fact, most of the people I hear yelling at me are probably going to play the mobile game because they can't freaking help it. You're gonna. So quit just kind of stuff, dude, just rubs my cheese.
And for some folks who are just like participating in this, but they don't have the original thought, I mean, PC Master Race thing is a cultural war thing. And some people don't play any of the games. They're just using this as an excuse to incite their agenda or their cultural values. Mm-hmm. And it's got nothing to do with Diablo. So make sure you're being very critical about what you're reading online about rational people who've thought it through. Yeah, because it's about that too. There's some of that in there too. There's some of that. The next issue is going to be the next thing about some game that doesn't run at 60 frames per second because it's a port, etc., etc.
Jerusalem in the chat says he's never heard of PC Master Race. That surprises me. That's a very common refrain.
It's a common thing.
Yeah.
But to tie it back to Heroes and to kind of maybe shift it a little bit to a positive message going out of this, one thing that I do want to say is just that this potentially opens up Blizzard Gaming and Blizzard's Worlds to a lot of other people. Yeah, it's probably not for us, but there's a lot of people that could be way into it and could be brought into this culture and this world because of it. And we sit here and we do a hero show every week. And one of the things we kind of think is, well, we got a great community, but boy, I wish this game was bigger and would grow because we think this MOBA is better than all the other MOBAs. And we wish it got that kind of attention.
Yeah.
And the way you get that attention is you bring people into the universe and you bring people into the world. So let's do it. Let's bring more people into this. Like, let's include more. It doesn't matter that they like the game on mobile and you like the game on PC. Get them in here. Get them playing the game. Get them excited.
Yeah.
I was at Disneyland the other day, and this old couple sitting at a table next to me said, they looked at each other dead serious. They go, what was the name of the gauntlet Thanos used? And the lady goes, The Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, that's right. What? I never in my life did I think that I would watch an older couple talk about Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet like it was just, what are we going to do on Tuesday?
Right.
Talk about Thanos, I guess.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool to bring these people into the world and share the things that we're passionate about. It's awesome. So let's let people have their thing. And if it's not your thing, go find the thing that is your thing.
Yeah, get away from the thing. If you don't want the thing, don't get the thing. Don't pay for the thing. Don't download the thing. This is going to make a crap ton of money for Blizzard and for Activision. And there is zero question in my head about that. They are going to make more money on this mobile thing than they have any Diablo game before it. And it's going to irritate people to hear me say that. But them's the demographics right now. That's the financials. That's how it works. Go ask anybody that works at Epic, and they will tell you they make more on iOS alone for Fortnite than they do the entirety of PC and console platforms combined. That's where money is right now. There's a huge amount of it, and you don't want to just leave that on the table. And why should Blizzard? Why should everyone else have a shot at that? I'm not making you play this game. It's not even the same team that's working on mainline sequels over there. You'll get your 4, I'll get it. You'll get it. We'll all be thrilled when we get it. We'll get the game we want the most. But a whole lot of people, especially people in parts of the world that don't normally have access or greater access to Blizzard games, are about to get a Diablo game, and it's going to be huge. So it's as simple as that. Play it or don't play it. I mean, I know it sounds trite and stereotyped to say it, but just if you don't want it, don't play it.
See, I think I want to move on because I want to talk about all the cool hero stuff, but just want to say one thing because I've given it a lot of thought too since the weekend, because like John, I'm not a mobile player and I don't make my decisions. I don't like, I'm glad Blizzard's going to make a lot of money on it. I kind of don't care personally from the decisions I make. There is a situation where it does come up, and that's when a game experience has to be one for one with it. So right sentiment, wrong game. To me, Hearthstone is the biggest offender of this. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of features not implemented in Hearthstone because of mobile design, and they've come out and said it. Mm-hmm. And there are features that are wanted by people who want to play competitive trading card games. So again, there's a correct way to have this conversation and to express your opinions, but that would be to me the only concern. And it's real given that one of their games is compromised by the fact that it has to serve mobile customers. That's not the case here. Like I said, wrong game. Diablo Immortal is its own thing, but you know, I could see being upset if your Diablo 4 experience is affected by the need to serve customers that don't matter to me, quite frankly. Mm. So yeah, have that conversation with the Hearthstone team.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Right. So there's some discussion in the chat about that the game goes against, specifically Reed was one, is saying that this somehow this goes against Blizzard's mission statement. I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, he's talking about sacrificing quality for money. And I will say that having played it and also being extremely critical of mobile games, I don't think they have. I think it looks very good for a mobile game. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that will probably hear that and say, well, see, you said it right there, for a mobile game. Yeah, that's the market. I don't expect my Nintendo DS games to look like my PlayStation 4 games.
Well, it isn't even so much anymore. Like
visual platform.
Right. Visually, it's on par, I think, with what we expect. The difference is the format has limitations. Yeah. And the platform has limitations. It's kind of like saying Overwatch is a really good PlayStation 4 game. It's a good game for a console. You really should be playing the PC one. Yeah. There's advantages playing the PC one and accuracy and control and everything else. So right. To me, it's the same. It's just the same kind of issue. There's not lack of quality or polish there. I don't think Blizzard lets anything out the door that is. They never have before. Yeah. I don't know why suddenly people think they will. And after playing that demo, it's a clean, tight, good-looking game. For mobile especially, like maybe a cut above most mobile games. It's hard to say till we get the full game. We had I don't know how long those demos were, but you had three characters as all and 10 minutes or something, whatever it was. But yeah, like
until we beat that dungeon boss guy.
Yeah, I just don't buy that this goes against their motto. No, it doesn't. The motto is still gameplay first. Their motto is every voice matters. Yeah. Go read the thing. It doesn't say anything about there. And part of our motto
is graphics first.
No. And it's never been. Well, if that was true. Look, I'm old enough to remember, and I'm going to reiterate a bunch of this on the Diablo show tomorrow, but I'm old enough to remember when Diablo 2 launched and everybody lost their minds because the game was locked at 800 by 600 and you couldn't increase the resolution.
I still lose my mind about that because I would like to play it again.
Yes. Well, and they eventually did go 1024 by 768, but that was still the highest they'd go. But that was way patched later, and that was after Lord of Destruction and all that. I remember those days. Guess what else I remember? I remember in 2007 when they showed this off in France, 3, everybody saw it and went, oh, the color palette is not right. It's totally wrong. It's like cartoon world.
There were rainbows.
There were rainbows in it. I hate it. It's going to be terrible. Burn it all down. Like, this happens all the time. I understand it's a passionate base. I understand Diablo's a legendary game. Just check your freaking brains, man. Like, just check them. It's fine. It's totally fine. And it looks good on this mobile platform. And if you like mobile games, I got good news for you. That's a cool mobile game. If you don't like mobile games, I don't know why you care. because you don't have to play it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Why do you?
I have one criticism of Diablo Immortal that I want to put out there.
Okay.
Please. Yep. Carl Jim doesn't have a beard, and I didn't like.
What's up with that? Well, this is a prequel.
That's
this
it. Before yeah. Otherwise, it's great.
It's a prequel. He doesn't have the facial hair yet.
I feel like even if it's baby Carl Jim, he should have a beard. I didn't care for it.
He has one hair, one really long hair.
Yeah, one big
comes right out the bottom. That's hint of a beard.
Let's get some beard back on that. The shorter beard, maybe, but I think he needs beard. Yeah, wasn't digging the no beard.
Reed clarifies, says, I care because I would like to play it on a different platform. No, you're not going to get, that's not what this is made for. It's made for mobile. Now, you can take a game like Diablo 3, which is primarily a PC experience, and then they did a great job of making it console friendly. They did a killer job. I've now played the Switch version. I like that even more. It's great. It's really good. I still prefer PC overall, but they figured out a way to do that. That's how you do that. You don't start from mobile and then scale it up to everything else. You go the other direction. So, yeah, I just, your expectations are weird. Why would Blizzard do that? It doesn't make any sense. And you can play this shitty thing on PC that's only good on mobile if you're playing mobile. Like, why would they do
that? It's doubly disappointing, right? Like, hey, it's on mobile. Disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we ported it to PC. Disappointed again.
Yeah, I guarantee you, bigger disappointment had they said that. And you can play this thing on your PC. People would be like, I don't want a watered down piece of crap Diablo. Just go play D3. I played D3 today. I went through three rifts, one challenge rift, and a bunch of bounties because I wanted to get some more weapons converted into powers. Why? Because all this Diablo talk got me hungry for Diablo. So I played some. Nice job, Blizzard. You did it. you got me. I'm back in. So anyway, we'll stop talking about it now. But
yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, there's other.
We'll talk about Heroes. What if we talk about?
Sorry,
Heroes?
Guys. Because you know what, the Heroes had, I think, the best year it's ever had.
I think it had one of the best. I think it was a little short on other stuff. It was nice to get one character. She's Nexus born. She's really good. There was a lot of good stuff in the panels for Heroes, but I wish there would have been. I don't know. I would like to have had a map or some more.
No, I think this is right. I think it works with the slower cadence. I think we weren't like, here's three Heroes. No, here's one really spectacular announcement for Heroes. Of course, you'd always love to hear more, but I don't know. I think, honestly, I think it had a really strong showing. I think it got, it was front and center in a dearth of announcements that were all same old, same old. They broke new ground for themselves, which made it really compelling. I don't think that message got out to everyone necessarily.
Yeah.
But. And certainly not everybody is a fan of the original content, as we've heard. Original Heroes, I should say. But I think this was their strongest. I loved the trailer. I watched it like 30 times.
Yeah, it's really good. And they also had... I just felt like the vibe in general around Heroes was really positive. And the team just seemed really... I don't know. I just got a really good vibe out of everything Heroes related this year. And it just reinvigorated my sense of their commitment to the game. The two things I did when I got home from this BlizzCon, my plan was to jump back into Red Dead Redemption 2 because I need to. But I got home and I played Heroes and Diablo. Like, I just got these cravings, especially Heroes. And like, I'm so stoked to play tonight because, it's just everywhere I went at that con, I'd go, oh, the one game here, the one game of all this whole place that I want to just play right now with friends is Heroes. And I just kept feeling that way. John, I think you even mentioned that to me while we were walking around at one point.
Yeah, that time up on the streaming stage was some of the best at the con because we just got to play. We just got to sit down and freaking play some games with the new hero. And she's so good.
Yeah.
I think we're on another character, another hero, where all three of us are just super stoked about her.
Yeah. Well, part of it, I got to give Bo a little shout out. You both took to her very quickly, I think. I was watching you both play, and it seemed like it was just a natural pickup. I was struggling with her a little bit. She's got a very different kind of rhythm to her and a different kind of thinking to the way she plays second to second and all that. And Bo did some pretty good coaching while I was on the stream, and it clicked, man. Like, she clicked with me hard, and I am into it. I really like what she is and how she plays. There have been a lot of concerns about... visual noise with her, like just so many effects and her big gross tentacle thing flying all over the place all the time that it creates all sort of screen distraction for players. I didn't really get that while I was in the middle of it any more than any other hero. Did you guys feel like she was, you know, spammy visually?
I thought her visuals jumped out a lot, and I think everyone's visuals should jump out a lot, and I wish people would stop griping about too much visual clutter. I was like, can we have less of the awesome stuff in our game? Like,
yeah.
You know, I want the volume up when I hunt in on Illidan. I want it boosted to 11. That's how I want my game.
Yeah.
I can see it. Get good, son.
Yeah.
Wow, Bo, going ham.
I get really irritated when graphics and sound get removed because of clutter. I'm like, clutter the crap out of it. I want this to be Dance Dance Revolution mode. Like, I just want
maybe not
it,
quite so. That, but yeah, I think I'm with you.
I have no patience for those kinds of complaints.
I kind of agree with Bo, because I think, do you remember when Jaina came out? We were all like, ooh, a frost mage. And then we saw her abilities and we were like, the hell?
Yeah.
It's like one little ice shard and then a little poof of snow and then like a tiny little circle that goes.
Yep. I mean, I actually think the circle of what is it? Now I can't remember the name of it because you called it a ring of snow. What is it called? What's her W
ring
code?
Of frost?
Ring of, not ring of frost, not her ultimate.
Oh, cone of cold.
Yeah. Like the way you're describing it, I don't know. I like, you're right. I guess what I'm saying is you're right. Like, I remember being a little bummed about that. It wasn't just like this, whoosh, blah, just like constant like snow everywhere. And that's what this character is. Her freaking tentacle monster, which we give a very different name in other places. But Splude. Anyway, oh yeah, she's basically Splude. She's the character Splude.
She has a name though. It's Chomp. It's Chomp. Feel...
Oh, that's the name of the little the dude that's with you. That's Chomp.
Yeah. The prolapse dude. Yeah. No.
Well, if we call him Splude, we can make it true.
No, Splude has its own identity. I feel. I just don't. I see like where it would fit, but now that I know he's Chomp, I'm.
Bo's holding out
I'm
for
having
the day.
A hard time with it.
Yeah, he's, I know the name. I know the true name.
And remember, Splude is like a liquid being that bounces around on the battlefield. And
he's not all liquid. He's like a water balloon.
He's like a gelatinous liquid being. I think it's not my headcanon.
He's really cool. Personally. He's so, everything about her is cool.
Chomp?
Yeah.
Chomp is very cool.
She looks amazing, and she's great. John, did you want to tell your Are You Psychic elevator story?
It's getting, we're talking about heroes now. We don't have to go back to me harassing people in an elevator necessarily.
We can save something for next week.
We should save that story. It's a really good one. I've heard it twice, and I still enjoy it. Anyway, we also got these rad new sweatshirts. I mentioned those before. Mine's dirty. Bo's is also dirty, but on I think it's on you. You
it's not dirty. It? It's clean.
Are you wearing it now?
With washing.
Does the it's, only thing yeah. that the I washed mine in Look the hopes that it would shrink because I accidentally asked for too big a size, but I like it.
It
lot.
Is big. Yeah, you can curl up. It's perfect. Well, no, you live in Phoenix, but if you lived like where I live and the starts to get a little colder and stuff and dark at night, you can curl up by the fire, get a book. Wrap yourself in your gigantic freaking hero's jacket.
Yeah, the goal before next BlizzCon is to lose a lot of weight, and when I turn into that person, then I can it can just be all of my clothes.
Right,
it can be 100% of my clothes at that point.
Well, I absolutely love it, and can't wait to wear it again. But I am wearing my other hero's thing, so I have that on. Yeah. Whoops, I rubbed the wrong boob.
I like that you checked your boobs to make sure. Yep, still wearing it.
Yep, still wearing it. Always check your boobs. Okay, let's talk about Orphea.
Yeah.
She's a coffin lady. A young girl possessed of death magic. And her dad, I guess. Is it her dad? Is the Raven Lord her dad? Okay. We don't know who the mom is, though. Who's the mom? Probably an undead lady.
It's in the new comic that's about to come up. I saw a comic panel with the mom in it. I think it might have even been in the Heroes
Kevin
Deep
Johnson.
Dive.
Kevin Johnson.
Kevin Johnson is her mom. Okay.
Finally, he's found his place. Did we mention Kevin Johnson's getting an answer back? We should mention that because
it's in the notes. Yeah,
we're jumping around.
The show's just starting, folks. Buckle up.
But anyway, she was born in the Nexus. Quite literally, got her beginnings in the comic, and she's the petulant child of the Raven Lord, and they have this video, if you haven't seen it, where there's a big conflict between them and the fight ensues, and she sort of picks a side, and that is not the side of her father. As a result, she seems like she's on the side of good and right, and wants to stop her dad at all costs, kind of thing. That's her lore. There's a lot more to it than that. I'm sort of giving it short shrift, but she is a damage hero, although they don't call her an assassin in the video, because I think what do they call that? The spotlight video, because yep. I think they were still sort of in the middle of doing this new these new roles, which we'll talk about in the show, I'm sure, today. I definitely want to talk about it. But she is absolutely in the tradition of an assassin. She is that. It's hard to call her melee because she not only has a ranged auto attack, but her abilities, while melee abilities, are long range or relatively long range. And she runs around with a coffin on her back and is a complete badass. Let's, I guess, talk more details about how we think she plays and stuff. So what do we think of her kit? Bo, do you think she's... well, the chat room keeps asking. We may as well answer the question. You think she's going to come out of the gate so OP that it's just going to steamroll everybody?
Well, I mean, heroes often come a little overtuned. So it has nothing to do with that she's an original hero. She may, in fact, you know, need numbers tweaks, just like Phoenix and just like so many damage heroes this year. I mean, Hanzo was some rough business when first launched. So, yeah, it might be a good time to start playing her right away. She certainly felt very strong. So probably she'll launch and need some tuning. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it has nothing to do with that she's an original hero or that her kit is in any way, you know, that different. You know, it's just probably a numbers thing. So she will be strong, but her abilities, you know, are fun. That's the OP part, is that they're really fun to do. Specifically, let's talk about Shadow Waltz, her Q.
Yeah.
So remember how excited I was for Lunara, and then we got Lunara. I was like, oh, this isn't quite what I had in mind. Mm. This isn't what I thought they were showing me. So they put it in the game, what I was actually looking for, which is that the Q triggers additional movement upon hitting a hero, like a dash, which is actually better than what I was even imagining, because a dash is fairly instant. Mm-hmm. And that's fun. Now, with Callista in League of Legends, it's based on an auto attack, and you don't have to hit a hero. You can do anything to get that movement speed. But it's a unique expression of a similar mechanic in this game, which I can definitely appreciate. So I really like the Q. I think the Q makes the hero for the most part. I really love it. And it does a lot of damage. It lets you your next inputted move command, so long as you're not holding down the right mouse button and just moving around, mm-hmm. makes you dash a little bit. I like that quite a bit.
And it really, really significantly reduces the cooldown on Q, which means you can do that same loop again. And if you're good, right. you're going to do it a lot. And it's very satisfying. The only downside for me was having to get used to this. I have this tendency to, it's not stutter stepping, but when I have a hero and I attack with it and it's kind of close range, I like to get it off and then move back. And in this case, that's actually something you don't want to just go back, because you're actually going to dash back. Now you're all out of the fight. It's a good escape if you need it. But what I mean is, like, the point is, like, I should be scooting toward them, doing it again, getting close again, doing it again, the way you were coaching me basically the other day. And if you haven't seen that VOD, I recommend watching it on the channel here. Because once it started to click, it was like, oh yeah, dude, I could just chase this beefy tank down and kill them. Like, they're going to die and I'm not going to die. It's a really, really fun hero. She's super awesome. And it gives me great hope for the idea of Nexus-born heroes moving forward. And I hope we see more of them. I assume we will, you know? There'll be a time.
I mean, the biggest takeaway, guys, like, her abilities are pretty self-evident. Chomp's a thing. Like, there isn't much to really say about it in terms of... I'm hearing a lot of she's a high skill cap hero. I think she's not that high skill cap. I think she'll be tough for newer players to learn, especially the Q and how to leverage that properly. And a lot of her abilities have wind-up times, so timing and leading with them will present a challenge. I think it'll get pretty flat. Like, once you get good with her, I don't to me, yeah. like Vikings are high skill caviar.
Right.
Like, this is not, you know, I don't want people to feel intimidated. Hopefully we see some excellent Orphea play, but, you know, she has very little useful or easy to get off forms of CC. Like everything is big wombo damage. So yeah. she needs a lot of support from her team, you know, to stay protected. Our games, like, I think went very well, so our impressions are going to be that she's super powerful, but once you start meeting more challenging opponents, she is vulnerable, just like a lot of mages, and it's going to require a good team to protect her. So I think she's just probably going to be a little difficult for newer players to learn to leverage all the damage she can put out, and to know when to take chances with her, because her trait allows her to heal herself for the damage that auto attack does, and that auto attack gets a big damage boost the more dots you have, more stacks, up to 3. So you can push things, you can push your limits a lot on the hero, but I don't think on the scale of things that she's, you know, going to be that high. I think she'll be very accessible once you get used to how she plays, and she's a lot of fun. And her graphics, like, to me, the biggest thing is her graphics are so cool.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're very flashy, and I like the, is it dichotomy, you know, where she's like a young woman and fighting with her father, very teenage like, and yet she's got this disgusting friend.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Her imaginary friend is like an unlikely person. I'm sure there's movies that are analogs to this that I can't think of it, but you know, she's friends with the evil teddy bear in her closet that likes to murder people.
Exactly. That's a great. Yeah, that's her. That's perfect. That she's totally the embodiment of that. And she's just, there's a fun factor there that I'm not saying is missing in other heroes, but I wonder if they just had a freedom with her, because you're making her up from whole cloth. You're not having to build on top of an existing archetype from one of the IPs we're all familiar with, you know, be they Illidan or Thrall or whoever. It's just this, you know, building a brand new character from raw clay and seeing what you can make out of it must be really exciting for them, in this game anyway, because, I mean, that's what, you know, all the other games kind of have a lot of heroes that are inspired by Blizzard stuff from the original Dota mod. But here's Blizzard themselves inspiring themselves to make a whole new thing that's got nothing to do with anyone else. And it's really hard for me to compare to anybody else. I thought when we first saw our video, oh, she's a little like Kerrigan with the reach of the sloppy thing and with her Q. Or maybe she's, you know, like, I couldn't think of who else. But she kind of has these different things that feel similar to other characters. But I don't know. It feels like all her own. It feels like brand new stuff. But it's not stuff that's so hard to figure. It's not like obtuse. It's very easy to get your head around it. It's just she's very unique. I like her. I like her a lot. John, any other thoughts about our new friend Morpheus?
No, she's great. It's all about the Shadow Waltz. I love the way her character flows and goes together, and I'm really excited. This is the first hero in a while where I'm actually just eagerly awaiting the launch day, because I just want to play more games with her.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, if this is what heroes look like without the constraints of having to use a lore hero, then please do. I like it quite a bit. I like that we have our own stuff, actually, because as much as this being a fan letter to other Heroes of the Storm games, I've often commented that makes me feel like we don't have our own special stuff, you know? And so I just think there's a lot of reasons for them to continue not just doing this, but adding more unique heroes.
Yeah, when your entire roster is the special stuff, because you're the creator of Illidan, Thrall, Jaina, everybody, nothing's special at that point, because they're already special and you own them. So bringing this in just feels like another level of special, or like a level beyond Blizzard's normal special, which is great for them. Sorry, I interrupted.
And I would tell our audience, and I'll break it here, we'll see how wide this goes, that there will be other unique heroes, and they will come from the other realms. There are some voice lines in there that there's usually intros and responses, you know, there's a question to Deckard Cain and a response to Deckard Cain if there's a unique interaction. She actually comes in the client right now equipped with several lines that address players from different realms. So, you know, Blackheart's realm, and I think the this is the sun god, you know, the sky temple realm that, that yeah. talk to non-specific heroes from those realms. And it could be that it's addressing skins, because remember, we had the generals of the Ravenlord, and if you're playing Alexstrasza with the general of the Ravenlord skin, that could be what the game's going to look at and just consider as a hero for them. So I'm not 100% sure, but I suspect that the Ravenlord and his realm is going to be part of an ongoing narrative that's going to involve many of the characters you're seeing as announcers right now, that you're like, who's this Lady Nightshade? Like, do they just take a portrait and say that's an announcer? That no, there will be a storyline involving Lady Nightshade, and Lady Nightshade will have her nephew, who's like this giant snake man or something. You know, who knows what they're going to do? So I'm super into it. If this gives them flexibility, creativity, and helps us invest in our own unique lore, I am super for it. And I look forward to more.
I do as well. Address one quick thing from Rufus P. Funkerdale in the chat. Says, I don't know, original MOBA heroes are a dime a dozen. There's literally hundreds of them. And I made the comment that I like the ones Blizzard makes, because that's, I think they have a special way of doing that. But getting excited, let's say your preference is, no, I'm much more excited about bringing Reinhardt for example. Well, I would say me too. I would also be excited about that. But let's remind ourselves, Blizzard made Reinhardt from nothing. Blizzard made Thrall from nothing. Blizzard made every character we've talked about today from nothing at some point. Were they born in a MOBA? No, but what's the difference? Like, they're creating these characters. They're putting all kinds of thought into them. To me, because they are the manufacturing plant for all of these archetypes that everyone else rips off constantly, them starting something new within their MOBA is as exciting, because it's made new, just like Lucio is new and Reinhardt is new and Hanzo is new and everybody's new.
I agree. I think, though, I also kind of understand where Rufus P. Funkerdale is coming from. Personal preference, I would prefer that original heroes in Heroes of the Storm be the exception to the rule. I'm happy that they exist. I would like to see it at kind of the pace that we've seen so far. Lots of heroes from the universe, and then maybe an original hero where it makes sense. I think that was my complaint about the comic book too, as we were reading through the comic, as I said, you know, this is okay, but the whole nice, cool thing about Heroes is you get to see Jim Raynor interact with Tyrael.
Right.
And they're not leaning on that. And I think that kind of, for me, plays into the gameplay too. I want to see the iconic characters as well.
But right.
I'm happy with Orphea. I think she's great. And I'm happy to live in a world where we're getting both. And that's, to me, the best of both worlds.
Right. And basically what you're describing is, how do I put this? That you said iconic, and that's, I think that's, I will agree that that's important, or that makes a difference, right? Why is, let's pick any hero. Why is Deckard Cain iconic? Well, because Deckard Cain has a whole lot more happening with his character, and for many, many years, things have been happening with Deckard Cain. More than 20 years, we have had to deal with that guy. And so when he is introduced, it's like, our old pal Deckard Cain, who we know from all these other things. Whereas Orphea is like, Orphea, we don't know you at all. Welcome to the party. This might be awkward for a while. Like, I totally get that. Like, she doesn't have the roots that even Overwatch heroes have. The Overwatch heroes have had a chance to prove themselves in their way, in their game, in their place, and have that cachet as they come over here.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
You reminded me. Here's a weird thought, though. You want to know what I think would be awesome? You just reminded me on Overwatch, so it's not completely out of nowhere. What if Bob got added to Heroes of the Storm?
I'd be totally fine with it.
Not Ash.
Yeah, yeah.
Bob.
Yeah.
And this is the game where you can completely play and control Bob.
I'm 100% with Bob.
Let's stick it to the Overwatch team.
I want Bob to do something.
Yeah, let's put him in Heroes.
Do something,
you want to play Bob?
Yeah.
Put him in Heroes.
I'm with you.
I say do it. Do it, Heroes team.
Keep Ash. We don't need another white-haired girl in Heroes of the Storm. We need Bob. We need some Omnics in this damn game.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I love it. When the Fox says Bob gets added to Heroes of the Storm and Ash is his ultimate. All right.
That's fine. That would actually be really funny.
Perfect. Ship it. Done.
Yeah.
I'm all about it. Ready. I love this idea.
Lashes, yeah. You still listening? You got the ear of the devs. Go pass that on, will you?
Donnie Vermillion announcer and Bob.
Okay. Done.
Yeah. Sir. Bob the hero. This is the same situation as Diablo Immortal and whatever comes after Diablo. We can have both, and we don't need to argue about it. Like, come on now. You've had 80 heroes from Blizzard lore. I think we could have a couple of original heroes sprinkled in.
Yeah. I mean, if suddenly for the next 10 months it was just an original hero every month, I'd start to go, wait a minute, Blizzard, what are you doing? They're not going to do
that.
I'd
be okay with it.
They're not going to do that.
I don't care as long as the mechanics are fun. And I think it's healthier. It's one less constraint to work under. And I have enough confidence, especially after seeing Orphea, to be like, it doesn't matter to me. I love Blizzard games, but that's my personality. This is all subjective. I don't need it to be from Blizzard lore. I just need to be fun.
Yeah. I
don't want Donald Duck in the game. That goes without saying, but like, you know.
But what if his kit was awesome?
Yeah, what if he had a really good kit? What if his ultimate was
Donald Duck's kit? Be just his, him getting mad because everything went wrong. All the
yeah,
time?
One of yeah. his kit, one of his ultimates would be putting on pants. Finally, that's what that would be.
One of his alts, he gets Don Cheadle's voice and says very heroic things.
Perfect. Yeah, why Don Cheadle? Why him in particular?
That happened in the new DuckTales show.
Oh,
nobody could.
We need old Donald Duck. We need like 1920s Donald Duck or something like that.
No, it's great. It was great. It was great, and you're all crazy. That show is fantastic.
It's also 30s, I think, late 30s.
Late 30s.
I'm not actually sure about that. Now that you say it, I should know that.
Classic Donald Duck when he.
I
can't do Donald Duck.
He was doing that too. That's why they gave him the voice translator. He needed to coordinate a fight, and nobody could understand him. So they got.
I had an uncle who could do Donald Duck. It's hard to do.
It is hard to do. You got to that whole thing with your throat. I can't do that.
I don't know. You're pretty close.
I don't know, dude. You know what's wrong with me? The thing BlizzCon left me with, I never get sick of BlizzCons. I never get like colds or anything. Everyone else, a lot of people I know, Ibbot and a few others have it. But I never get sick. But I always, my throat always hurts from all the yelling, and it still hurts. Like if I get too loud on this show, it'll hurt all night. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just talk in a nice, even, low tone so that you all can have a show next week and not have me talking like my voice is broken. All right.
Fantastic.
Okay. Real quick on her ultimates. I just want to touch on these real quick. Her first is Eternal Feast. You got a second and a half wind up on this thing, but once it lands, you got this big circle. And it's, in a lot of ways, she's like Stukov with a gone wrong. Like she's got so much goopy weirdness happening, but this big circle and her big worm thing, what's it name? Chomp or whatever. Is that the name of it? What is it?
Yeah.
I think it's Chomp.
Okay. Yeah. So the ability and the creature's name is Chomp. All right. That's fine. Anyway, it jumps across. You've seen the videos, people. So you've seen it do it, but she'll jump up. He jumps up, jumps down, jumps up, jumps down. Just causes this constant amount of damage as long as somebody's in that circle. And if you get out of the circle, it stops. As long as no enemies are in the circle, it has a very short run and it's out of there. If people stay within that circle, it goes indefinitely. And it just seems like there are a lot of really cool wombo opportunities just waiting to happen with her, with other heroes, whether it's Mosh Pit or Ring of Frost, or I don't know what else. I can't think of any others off the top of my head, but there's stuff to be done there that would cause some serious pain and trouble for players.
You can even do it, Nazebo, when he pulls out his little ghost and starts chasing somebody. I'd drop the ult on him, and he'd be sitting there with his ghost, woo, and then he's getting chomped the entire time.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's my ult. I can't cancel it. I only get once every 100 seconds. Yeah. What do I do?
Well, it's anytime anybody has like a cast, kind of a stand and cast thing. Mind control is another good one. There's a few others, I'm sure.
What about not temporal loop, but slowing sands?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And if someone gets in there, bye-bye.
And as much as they tried to make her the nemesis of Leoric in that video because of his skin and she's the schoolgirl and all that, That's Entomb plus that is a scary freaking piece of business.
Like, oh, Entomb. I like
it. Yeah. So they'll be buddies before you know it. That fight's all fake. It's fake news. So that's pretty cool. But then Crushing Jaws actually was the one we seemed to pick a lot on the stream and use quite a bit. But basically, it's like a little accordion unit that will deal a bunch of damage, 275 damage, and stun people for almost a full second within that space. That seems like a pretty smart pick if you're trying to set up, set other players up for some stuff in a good team fight. Thoughts on Crushing Jaws? That one seemed all right.
Yeah, I mean, they're both good. They're both situational. Crushing Jaws allows you to wombo in a spot. Like, it gives you, including with teammates, it sets up a situation where you can dump a lot of damage in a spot.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a team where that's already taken care of and you just want to have the extra wombo damage, then Eternal Feast works.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both pretty good. I mean, Eternal Feast feels really bad because they can walk out of it pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
And we even saw in your game, Scott, a well-meaning ETC sort of mosh pit it at the same time as you cast it in a choke, and that person didn't even get hit with it.
Yeah.
So there needs to be some level of coordination combination, I think, to really get Eternal Feast, because if you're just taking it in solo queue, they're probably going to walk out of it, unless, like John's example, they don't cancel their Nazebo. I mean,
I gotta make this happen.
If you have soft opponents, then it's probably fine, but smart opponents will get out of it pretty quick. So you'll want to take Crushing Jaws, because that is not really counterable,
right?
As long as you get them.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen Annas do it too when they're shooting down their sights, and you're just like, I do it with the Artanis laser. I put it on them, and they're like, but I gotta get all my bullets out before I go, and they just sit there and get blown up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. One important thing we haven't talked about yet. I'm gonna play a little bit of it. Here you go.
See, I told you I'd see you in the Nexus. This thing is about to start. Talon up. What's up? I'm Kevin from the Heroes dev team, and I'm here to announce your game. Let's get started.
Okay, I gotta admit, it's
you
weird.
Listen to Mega Kill.
Let me keep going here.
Welcome to Heroes of the Storm. Get ready for battle. About to begin, so let's watch. The match begins in 10 seconds.
He's got 130 lines. We're
choose
not gonna
a
find
talent.
It really quickly.
A brutal assault. Ooh. That guy didn't read the patch notes.
Oh, it's so cornball. I love it. I mean, I remember the Reddit threads that were like petitioning for this forever, and they did it. They gave us a Kevin Johnson announcer pack, and he's in there, man. But it's weird,
it's
at first,
because
when I first
it's
hear it,
really
I go,
good.
Wait, is there a video playing somewhere else in a browser? Like, I thought I left a spotlight video open or something. I'm like, oh, no, he's the announcer in the game. Duh. Crazy. It was weird hearing that. And you could select him at the demo thing that we played. He's selectable and, you know, was just in there. And so we used him for some of the games we did. But, yeah.
Very positive.
Yeah.
It will make you feel good about your game.
Agree 100%. I think it's awesome. I'm really glad they added him. Let me jump to the end of his text and see if he says anything interesting.
I uploaded Mega Kill.
Like that. Oh. GG.
Oh, my gosh, dude. He is stoked. All right, let's see what Bo sent.
Mega kill.
They didn't give him any echo or anything.
No.
They just had him do it. Just flat.
And then usually the mega kills are really, they're really put the gravel in their voice, the voice actors. Like, mega kill.
Yeah.
He's like, mega kill.
Mega
boy.
Kill, everybody. And I'm glad.
Mega kill.
He's
like a mega man.
Ghost.
He's a very he's an endearing guy. I like him.
I love it. It's a unique space in the announcer thing, and it's endearing as hell.
Yeah,
I'll pick it a lot probably.
Oh yeah, I'll
be my
get
announcer
it
for a lot of things.
I'll get it. Yeah, for sure. In fact, I've got some shards just waiting to be spent. I think that might be where I do it.
Is that a creepy message to send him on Twitter?
Yeah.
I got some shards set aside for you, boy.
I was hoping we'd see him there. Never did. I don't know if he was on any panels or anything or part of anything.
He was on the deep dive for Orphea.
Oh, he was. Okay. Yeah, I missed that. Yeah. Did he moderate that, or was he doing question answers?
No, he
or
was one of the presenters. There was four.
Okay.
I think there were.
He's just got such a really, really good voice for this stuff. Like, they could use him for all kinds of. He could be the voice of God in that place and just take over for Brode.
Yeah. It was all the people that worked on it. It was like Kyle Dates.
Mm-hmm.
He's made a lot of my favorite heroes. And I think it's Lana. I don't think it's Lana. Lana Baczynski, who's like an animator there. And I can't remember who else they had.
She did I think she was the animator on Orphea, I think.
Yeah, since she's been doing Orphea animations for over a year.
Oh, my Lord.
This is a real point of pride for the team. Like, it's not to be underscored enough. And, like, I know some of you aren't into the original Heroes and all of that, but they put a lot of work into this one. They're really proud of it. And I think they deserve to feel that way. I think if I made a thing, rather than draw or make Thrall for the umpteenth time, I'd rather make my own thing and put my own mark on Blizzard franchise history.
Absolutely.
That would be my feeling.
They did it here. All right, couple of other updates that came out of the show. Custom map editor is set aside but not being worked on, but it is still a thing that could make its way to our hands at some point. They brought that up. Party Finder and Clans remains in development. Were mentioned as on the go, meaning they're working on it. I think they need to make that. Well, whatever. I can't tell them what priority is, but I feel like Party Finder and Clans should be a big deal. And performance-based matchmaking, they self-deprecatingly brought that up again, talked about how things didn't really work out last year with their plans, what they learned from that, and they say it is to be repurposed to educate players, no longer used as part of the ranked point system. Also, they are getting rid of, and this should be in this next patch, what do you call it? Promotion and demotion. There
promotion
you go.
Promotion and demotion.
Yeah, that's all in the big ticket changes. So
you put that in here. Okay, I missed that. Yeah,
it's all here. I got all of it.
All right, we'll talk about that too. So that's coming up. All right, so let's talk about the role system update because I think that's a big deal. In fact, to me, one of the biggest deals because now I can pick Nazebo and not feel guilty. They now have the following classifications, or they will have the following classifications for hero types in the game. Tank, Bruiser, Melee Assassin, Healer, Support, Ranged Assassin, and no Specialists. They're gone. Done. Bo, you got your wish, buddy.
Specialists.
Yeah, how you feel? How you feeling about that?
Good. I'm glad. And now they just need to make sure to change the kits on all the heroes. Sylvanas coming up next, but Gazlos, just change it from this, you know, toxic and play by myself gameplay. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's perfect. It's needed.
Yeah.
You know, notably, they didn't add a siege specialist category because I think these games are short. We don't need people that specialize in that kind of stuff.
Well, and you still can. It's just, it's just a hero that happens to maybe, you know, hammer can siege, but they no longer, I don't know what, you know, future reworks look like. Maybe it brings them closer into what it means to be a ranged assassin or something, but, and I forgot to check what those were actually. They would have probably been ranged assassin. I didn't see where hammer was, but
yeah, hammer would be a ranged assassin.
I would think so.
Ranged assassin.
But just because a hero may excel at a certain additional skill like taking down camps quickly or sieging or whatever the thing may be, I like that they're no longer relegated to this space of like, well, you got to pick a specialist like a weirdo that sits in the bottom lane while you go do other stuff. Like, I really,
it's not
like
a role
this
on the team. It's not a role. Like, no one's ever like, we don't have a specialist on our team, GG, you know. But it's like, we don't have a tank, people are gonna be pissed. So that really sort of solidifies in my mind why you need roles is to communicate what we need on the team. No one needs a siege character on their team.
Yeah, and Rebuzz 1 says no specialist frowny face. They're all still there. You're not losing any characters. They're just being reclassified into specialists.
No, but they're slowly being targeted for reworks. And like Asmodan is still good at wave clear. He's nowhere near the monster he was.
Right.
Post-rework.
Yeah. I'm down. I'm completely, completely 100% down with these changes. I think it's great. No problems at all. Quick match queue. Teams always have one tank, one healer, one ranged assassin, and two flex. Bonuses for underrepresented roles will be offered. That's coming next week. John, you perked right up when I saw you when that got announced, as I was sitting next to you during this panel. Yeah.
What you should have too.
I did.
We're tanks and healers over here.
Yep.
We don't need that glory.
Mm-mm.
So we're going to just reap the benefits. We're going to just sit back and it's going to be just XP boost for days.
Yep. In theory.
Or whatever the bonus is.
In theory. I played some rando quick matches last night and played let's see, 4 matches total, and I played 2 of them with a healer and 2 with assassins. The 2 healer games, we rocked the other team, and the 2 assassin games, we barely eked one out and lost one. I'm not saying that's indicative of anything. I just like it when I feel that there's some love for some good healing, you know? Yeah. And here's a chance for you to do that and get bonuses for it. So there you go. That's next week. Holy crap. I can't believe that's already happening. Is that also true of like, well, we'll get to it.
Not everything. There's a lot of stuff that's coming out over time. They revealed a lot of stuff that's going to be this year in Heroes, probably sooner than later.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of it we're going to have to wait for.
So I know we're talking about it later or a little bit later, but Fort's giving you an extra or giving you a catapult every 3rd minion wave. The occasional catapult, is that later or soon?
That's we don't later. Later.
Yeah,
we don't
know when. That's probably December if we heard a date at all.
Okay.
We heard a lot of dates, so it's hard to remember what exactly they said was we're targeting December versus later than that.
Yeah. And I just wanted to comment on that real quick because we're playing the game. You'd take down that first fort, and there was a text float or a text pop up that would float up that said, "Occasional catapults," which is kind of a weird thing to see, but there it was. Anyway, we'll see when that comes in.
So I want to take just a quick moment because Quantum Gamer pointed it out, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that also are wondering this. Who said, I didn't understand how early catapults are supposed to prevent snowballing. And the reason it should help fight snowballing, like, it's supposed to be a perk. It is supposed to do good for you. But the reason is because, let's say, theoretically, you're on Garden of Terror and you win the objective. In theory, you're ahead because you won the objective. You probably got a kill. You, at the very least, were able to hold the objective. So you're probably already in a lead. Then the objective comes out, starts stomping down the lane, destroys a bunch of forts and keeps, which gets you more XP, which gets you a bigger lead than you already had, which you were already ahead on, and you're able to fight alongside it for perhaps even an additional lead on top of that. By getting rid of the XP that you would get from the forts and keeps, it doesn't give you that extra bonus award. But they needed to give something,
right.
And that something is a catapult, which does give an advantage because you shouldn't get nothing for winning the game.
Right.
But it's not something that's so overblown that it's just, well, we just won. Now let's just keep winning harder.
Yeah. I'm glad you explained that because they explained it really well on stage during the deep dive, but I still walked away, and if somebody had asked me, "Hey Scott, quickly explain to me how that works," I would have been terrible at explaining it because it seems counterintuitive, right? To say,
right.
"Here's you've done a thing, and we're trying to stop snowballing, but here's a catapult early in the game." It does seem counterintuitive, but I think you just explained it well. Let's see, we talked about that. Boosts, stim packs have turned into boosts. No more stim packs. Kissing goodbye. They're done. Out. Finished. You gain up to 45% bonus XP per person in your game with a boost on either team. And this comes next week.
Oh, sorry. I miswrote that. 5% per person to a maximum of 45%.
Oh, I see. To a max of 40. That makes more sense. Yeah,
I miswrote that. Just want to clear that up.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah.
That's next week, though. That's good, right? What do they look like?
Sure.
Visually, are they...
They have a new visual. They look like green scrolly potions of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get a little visual flair in the client. You also get a little UI element when you finish your game showing you how much you missed by not having a boost. So it's just basically if same price, you're just getting more XP for your boosts.
All right. I'm in. I like it. Oh, yeah. There they are. I see them now. It's like a little, I don't know what to call that. But yeah, a little flourishy looking boosty graphic, for lack of a better way of explaining that. Anyway, this is all detailed on the site, by the way, all the stuff we're talking about on the Blizzard Heroes of the Storm news site, so I would recommend checking that stuff out after we're done with the show. They also had something we're going to call here One Rank to Rule Them All, Hero and Team League combined. Checkbox if you want to play versus solo queue players. Otherwise, you're going to play against various stacks. I think that sounds great and in keeping with already successful changes to Team League. So I'm all for this. I will probably play ranked mode in every season now because I don't really have a reason not to now. I think this is great. And if I decide I want to just do solo queue players, I can. And if I don't,
or, you
I don't
know, you have can, to. You can do a whoop.
Yeah.
You know, you can buddy up. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is sometimes you're a little nervous to go in on your own, but you get a friend and you're chatting and having a good time. It de-stresses you.
Yeah.
Takes the anxiety down.
I agree. Loss forgiveness for ranked. If you get a lever is coming, the lever will be heavily penalized, stacking for repeated occurrences, and you will not get screwed. And then
this makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of people that I talked to said they were worried this would get abused, but I think at the end of the day, better to err that on the side that doesn't penalize the people who had to suffer it than, you know, people abused it and found a way around it and someone got penalized for it.
What was the way? Also, what was the way they would abuse it? Did people say, did they explain that?
The idea would be that if we were all playing and things looked bad and we were like, oh, we're going to lose. We don't want to get dinged. Scott, drop. you know?
I see.
And now you're a lever and we don't have to deal with the XP loss. Mm. Like, but you can only do that so many times before you're taking a really big personal hit. And also, generally speaking, I think it's better to err on the side that favors the people that do get dinged by the system
right.
rather than let them get dinged really hard because you're worried someone's going to abuse it.
You're also not gaining anything. Like, you may be losing, but you're not gaining any points right. out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't gain MMR, well, or whatever their new name for it is, and you don't lose it now.
Well, it's MMR, yeah, the new name. They're doing it, seeing this also remains to be seen how ranked points... Since they're gone, how MMR actually gets calculated.
I may have burped involuntarily just now. Just burped for no reason. It just kind of came out.
Well, no, thank you. Thank
yeah,
you
for that. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, because if it's an MMR calculation of points, the game might also not look like what it does today, making it... Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that all these changes are coming at once.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. Let's see. Only 3 placement games now. Hallelujah,
yes!
Dude. Oh my gosh.
No
this
kidding.
This is enough to make me want to lick the feet of the developers because
whoa. That is a gross overreaction to that news.
10 is too many. 3 is good. 10 was ridiculous and stupid.
I agree, but there is a line, sir, and it's far away to get a person to just get down there and start licking toes.
Yeah, that's a good point. I probably have taken that too far. But the only three placement games, that's exciting. Some people would say, wait a minute, how is it possible you could even tell the system who you are in the 3 measly games? I don't care. I just only want to have the 3. I want to start seeing what's happening immediately. This isn't about not wanting to play heroes. Like, it's not like, oh, good, I only have to play 3 games total. I don't want to play more than that. It's not that. It's I want to get to the competition. Not the wonder how well I'm going to do moment. I want to get past that and start fighting and building and working toward being better and not 10 games of doing that. So this is great.
Yeah, I agree.
Very excited about great. That. Let's see.
And tandem with that, this next one.
Oh, yeah. Season ranked quest update. Tell me about it, Bo. How does it work?
So they don't have specifics, but basically they're going to redesign the ranked quest. You know, stop at platinum or stop at master and get your thing. They're going to design a quest such that you're going to want to play longer in ranked. We talked about this on the show, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, this was a pitch.
This is the exact
idea.
Thing.
Yep.
Yep. I don't know who. I can't remember how, but I know we've talked about it. It's like the quest. Okay, John's pointing to himself like it's him. There you go.
It was me.
Here's your tiara. So, makes sense. Keep people playing after placements. Don't know what it's going to look like, but the presenter did say multiple stops along the way. So is it just play 10 games after placements? It sounds like it's going to be a little more creative than that. So fingers crossed that we get something really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Let's see. Let's talk about XP changes. Oh, we do. I forgot to mention. Okay, promotion and demotion games gone. They're out. Done.
Perfect. Again, nothing but good things out of this presentation.
They just said it doesn't feel good no matter what. There's a stress of, related to it. If you're demoting or promoting, it's a not fun feeling to go in there and go, oh, I better win. Oh, shoot, I didn't. I have to do this over and over until I do it. Or if you're losing a rank, that just sucks. Like, it just feels bad. And they said, yeah, we don't want this to feel bad, so we're taking it out. You either rank up or you don't. You're where you're at until you move up. Like, it's smart. I think this is good, and I never liked that demotion promotion stuff. Always bugged me. Rank points are gone. Game will now show MMR, but only in a friendly way, whatever that means. So it'll say, like,
so you're still going to be diamond or platinum, yeah, but it'll be like, an example they gave was diamond 50.
Right.
So I think there's just going to be tons of buckets. Yeah. And that way you'll be fluctuating a lot, but it won't be as dramatic.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be a more direct correlation to your MMR number, such that you could probably extrapolate what it was.
Right.
I like to believe that they will write it out for you, but they will only do it in the Wingdings font.
So there it's you all go. Just like playing card shapes and freaking sign, like road signs.
What's
and
your
stuff
rank of like clubs and
I'm an airplane smiley face. What are you?
Yeah, I kind of like that. It's, then there's no way to really know if you're cool or not. Yeah, diamond 50. That's where I'm heading. Yeah, right. Gameplay changes, XP changes, and combat snowballing. Forts and keeps no longer provide experience points. We talked about this. Towers award 50% less experience points. Mercs offer a plus 100% experience points, so there's a little bit of gain there. And trickle XP is plus 15. Where does the trickle come from?
Oh, you're constantly earning experience points.
I didn't answer that one.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, is that just from minions dying?
It comes from your dong. That's where the trickle comes from. You don't close it off.
But like, is it just constantly killing minions and that's your trickle, or happening?
No, it's just the game is always giving you XP.
Interesting. I didn't know
you're
that.
You're constantly gaining XP.
Never knew that. Have they told? Yeah. I guess they probably have told us this before.
Yeah. Well, if you hover over the top part of your game client, you'll actually see where the sources of all the XP you've earned in the game come from.
Okay.
And some of it is trickle.
Drizzle. It would be better, chat room
or
says.
Drizzle.
Oh, yeah.
XP drizzle.
So even if you sit in the Hall of Storms and do nothing, you'll still get experience points.
XP dribble. That's even better. Forts now give you a catapult every third minion wave. That's the occasional catapult we talked about before. Armor stacking is now removed. The game will calculate the largest buff and debuff and use that. Unclear if any armor will stack if it originated from multiple hero sources. So
I think we got an answer in that, and the answer is no. I've been watching community stuff that seems to be the understanding, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. So if you get 50% or you get 50 armor from something, an ability or whatever it is, and another 25% happens someplace else, you'll just take the 50.
Yeah. The way it is today is you get 75, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, boom, armor sources stack. They're no longer going to stack. Right. Whatever the highest is of what you have is what you should have. And one of the questions I wish I'd asked in the interview that I don't know is if having spell armor versus physical armor matter. Like if you have 50 spell armor but 25 physical armor, do you still retain both armors?
Do those stack because they are
Not that they stack armors, but that you just have both like concurrently, that you have because your visual display next to your health is only going to show your highest. So that's something that needs some clarification. Apart from that though, I think it's pretty straightforward.
There's an AMA coming up. That would be a fantastic question.
Oh yeah,
it's a fantastic question AMA. For
it would be. When is that? Do we know when that is?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
soon. I believe it's November 8th. So it might be today for the people listening on the podcast.
Yeah.
So navigate yourself over to Ye Old Reddit.
Yeah.
And there's this. I'm going to go look in there and just make sure we gave the right info.
Don't go near the Diablo Reddit. It'll burn your fingers on your keyboard.
Oh, I've been in there. It's bad.
It's a hell space.
It's bad, you guys. Yeah,
I avoid bad neighborhoods. I didn't go.
Yeah, don't go to that neighborhood. Stay out of that district. No. For now. Just for now. It'll get gentrified. But
I
for
live
now,
in Whimsyshire, where it's happy.
I'm in the cow level. That's where I like to go.
Yeah.
Why don't you sticky this? Yeah, it's Thursday, November 8th on the Heroes of the Storm Reddit.
Yeah.
Starting at, you're taking your questions from 10 a.m. Pacific to 12, and then they answer after.
So. Fantastic. Okay. Final bit of news that we think is pretty important. Reworks. There are two that are very likely happening in December. They're both happening, but they're likely happening in December. They're going after the undead, everybody. Sylvanas and Stitches getting reworks. They're combining them into Syl Stitches. One character does it all. Nope, that's not true. None of that's true.
Stitanus.
Sylvanas moved into ranged assassin category, right? I assume.
That's right.
Okay. Boy, this excites me to hear these new categories. It really does. It's weird. It shouldn't. It doesn't matter. Like, they're just named, but I get excited about it. And I don't know why I'm so excited about it, but I am.
Sylvanas is a specialist. Like, have you seen the BFA trailer? You know?
Yeah, she's a real specialist.
I mean, she does annihilate a tower, but still, she's a super badass into the whole thing. Like,
right.
And it's like, oh, I'm good at killing towers. Like, it's like, no, she's good at slaughtering hordes of alliance.
Yeah,
like, you know, or anything, demons, listen, whatever. Gets
listen to me, the horde. You take care of this battle. I'll be down in a place where no one is, chopping away at their freaking fort. Like, yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Like, you kill the bad guys. I'll make sure the castle doesn't shoot us.
Yeah,
Nathanos, I will shoot this tower.
You do a really good. You do a great Sylvanas. She's hard to do, I think. So you do a good one. And Nathanos would say, I'm the Raven Lord. Oh, no, wait. That's the other job.
Nope, just kidding. Nathanos,
the all-seeing Nathanos. Red-Eye McGillicuddy. All right. Anyway, Sylvanas, Stitches. Look forward to those. Those reworks are coming. They gave not too many details on what that would be, but you can expect
maybe
some changes.
Maybe we'll get our Sylvanas announcer.
Oh, hey.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
It's a whole undead theme. Maybe we'll get some banners and so I don't need to I will get too excited. But
just in time for Wintersvale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something says Wintersvale like a boatload of undead.
Yeah. Well, put hats on them, they'll be fine. All right. A quick note that if you enjoy our banter and you would like more of it and additional people in it, well, I got great news for you because every Saturday at 3 p.m. Mountain Time, we do a 3-hour stream. That is all D&D for those 3 hours. Bo is our DM. We're doing a campaign. We've been doing it for 35 plus episodes. And it's myself, John, Bo, and Kyle Ferguson. Kristen is also there, and she's fantastic, and we're all fantastic. You guys should check it out. It's great. I'm really tooting our own horn now. That's over at therewillbedungeons.com. Therewillbedungeons.com. Join us this Saturday as we do more in our fantastic world that Bo has crafted.
We've crafted it together.
Sure, but you really crafted it. We just crap in it. I crap in it, particularly.
you have literally crafted it. That's true.
I have crapped in that world probably more than once. We'll see. I don't know what that means. We'll see. There'll be more crapping? I don't know.
We'll see.
We're going to do a fast email here. This came to us at courtheroesforyou.com. It came from Peter. This is on the heels of the BlizzCon event, and it says this. It's far out there, but I'd love to see HOTS done in the Warcraft 3 Reforged engine instead of the StarCraft 2 engine. Definitely wouldn't happen, so I guess I'll play Dota custom games when WC3 comes out again. Ha ha, Peter. Peter, I got some bad news for you.
I did wonder about this, though, right?
Yes, by all accounts, and I don't know that 100% confirmation has come out on this, this is the Heroes/StarCraft 2 engine that we are seeing the remake of StarCraft in. So this isn't the StarCraft engine or the Warcraft engine. This is,
well,
this
it's
is
only
literally
ready
it.
If it's true.
Yeah.
Is it true?
Yeah, I think it's true. I've had some people who would know on the inside who've said so, and I can't say who they were. I get them in trouble, but I don't know that that's 100% confirmation, so I'm not going to say that. But
I feel like people have this misconception about how game engines work.
Right. Right.
Like, a new game engine isn't necessarily a good thing.
Right.
Wouldn't it be funny, though, if you tried to play Dota in the new Warcraft 3 Reforged engine and it just launched Heroes of the Storm?
That would be really funny. I mean, you know, because they're giving it a map editor and all that stuff, this thing probably will have a bunch of that, but it's so does the StarCraft engine. Like, it's already all there, and visually, when you play this, you definitely get a vibe of, oh, yeah, this is, like, up close on these characters, this armor and stuff, this is the StarCraft engine again.
I mean, I played it, and I don't want Heroes rebuilt in this engine. I mean, some of the articulation on the characters looks great. They're pouring a lot of love into War 3, but it's like when you play it, it feels like War 3. Like it just feels like an older game with like, like there's more points of articulation on the polygon. This is not an indication what you're seeing visually that it's better or not. And again, with the hyperbole surrounding BlizzCon, like stop.
Right. Stop it. Right. There's no, there's also no such thing as an engine that is just a engine. And then there's, that's it. Because the way that stuff works, World of Warcraft was based on the on the Warcraft 3 engine. It was, it was that engine with a whole bunch of band-aids to make it work in those very early days. It has evolved over time to the point that it looks nothing like what it originally was, but it all had the same roots. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what engine
it is. It's not like a real engine that gets rusty and breaks down. It's instructions of programming code.
Right.
It lasts forever. So they improve on it and make it like it's not an engine. Like quit blaming the engine for crap.
They
like,
are saying like, they are saying in the chat that in the deep dive they said it was absolutely the Warcraft 3 engine with revised textures, shaders, mapping, and all of that. So I don't know why I'm hearing StarCraft 2 from people I know.
Well, if it's the Warcraft 3 engine.
That's an older engine.
By the same logic, it's an older engine.
Right. It like, doesn't make any sense.
Call me when you've put it on the Tetris engine. Thanks, guys.
I mean, like, what we're really talking about here is essentially we're saying, I don't know, I don't want to pick, I don't want to make it sound like I'm picking on Peter, but like, yes, their Mal'Ganis model looks better than our Mal'Ganis model.
Right.
But that's because it has to show up for a cutscene and look cool. And then teleport instantly away and never be seen again.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we're really talking about is someone made a cool 3D model that a video game rendered.
Like, see, the reason it's coming up, though.
Engine.
Yeah.
The reason it's coming up, though, Peter, is your first sentence was fine. You know, you'd love to see Hotstone in the Warcraft 3 engine. Like, there's models look good. You know, sure. Sure, that's something you could want to love, and it'd be hard to say something about. But then you're like, you're going to play Dota custom games.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Instead of playing heroes, like if you're implying a little bit, and maybe we're taking it the wrong way. That you know, it's like I'm not playing this dead game. You know, I'm playing this other. Like I don't know.
Maybe you know
also,
what it
no,
is.
You're not. If all you cared about was how the game looked and you wanted to play Dota all this time, you'd be playing Dota 2.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Or no, well, War 3 is still possible to play.
Yeah, it is. Original Dota.
Yeah, and it looks like garbage. It's a terrible looking thing.
Gameplay first, not graphics first.
I know. And there are plenty of people out there who, you know, that want WoW Classic. I also played that and went, ooh, I'm done with that. So I know this isn't for me, what he's describing. And surely there will be people who do this. But it spawned a genre. It's kind of like saying, you know, team-based shooters, what I really want is them to remake Quake so I can go into the old Quake engine and make my own version of the Team Fortress mod that eventually became squad-based, class-based, team-based shooters that are now the standard in everything. Well, why? The work's done. They're done. They've moved, they've made it, they've perfected it and taken it into new places and I understand
why did you
nostalgia.
Italian in your argument. What are they doing?
They're making a new engine.
They're going to come in here. They're going to change the game.
Yeah, I don't
they're
know.
They're going to make a Team of Fortress 2.
There will be a lot of tower defense stuff made, and I will hate all of them. So, but that game looked really cool. It was one of my favorite surprises of the show. So we're not poo pooing on Warcraft at all. That looked awesome.
No, it was fun.
Yeah.
Arthas's hair is a force to be reckoned with.
It really is. It's a little stuck to his armor.
Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, but and I wouldn't, you know, if you held the visuals of that up to the visuals of Heroes currently, I think Heroes has the edge. It looks better than that does.
Yeah, this game is a remaster, so it looks good, but then it's still stilted in a certain way. Like, yeah. It's still going to feel like I'm playing a remastered game.
Yeah.
They're not relaunching the game, building it ground up with new assets for a 2018 audience.
Right.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
The pictures and everything look pretty good, but we played it. It's not that. It's a remaster, just like it really looks promising and really good,
mm-hmm.
but it's a remaster like all of the remasters. Still has the, you know, 1998 smell or whatever ear smell to it, you know? So
I'm glad you smelled your hand though. That's weird.
Yeah.
He did that. Yeah.
Well, ooh. I had something in it. I was miming something in it. Like, I wasn't smelling my hand. I was smelling the Warcraft 3 that I'm pretending is in my hand.
All right.
No, we don't need to get into it. I was a little sad that the undead, the new models look just kind of like zombies. I was kind of missing like the old style ghouls. Oh. They kind of looked happy and toothy, you know?
Well,
they got a lot of charm out of those like three polygons that made up an old ghoul.
An old ghoul. I used to hate those though. The ones that the like Death Knight spawn in the old days. I'm just not a fan. So I'm actually for changing that up a little bit. But...
Or maybe in that mission, they just made the people green.
Yeah. What I really want to see is the rest. I mean, they gave us the one scenario. I want to see, give me some Night Elves. Give me some Undead and Lich King, KT stuff. I want, like, you know, I want to see all that stuff. I want to see the orcs. How are they looking? Like, that's what I want.
Yeah. I will say this. The Warcraft 3 Reforged looks very promising. I'm really dour on remasters. I buy them and don't play them.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a good shot I'm going to run this one down.
Yeah, I think I'd play it.
It's been a nice amount of time.
Yeah.
And it would be fun to get into it.
Let's see. It was 2002? Somewhere in there. It's been long enough that I think I would really like that campaign again, and have it look this good is exciting. I hope they redo all the cutscenes. They may not, but that they redid the intro, which looked really good. So maybe they'll do the rest. I don't know. But yeah, it's... It was a big surprise and a fun thing to see, but Peter, I don't think you're getting an official game made in that engine. You will, however, have a lot of tower defense games to play, and for that, I'm excited for you, but I will not do those. I hate those. All right, that's it for that. That's it. That's the show. Oh, core@heroesforyou.com is the email address. If you want to send us your own emails, you certainly can. We encourage that. And would love to hear from you. So get those coming to us as well. That'd be great. And we're going to play some games after this. So stick around. You want to watch us all play? Speaking of Kristen and Kyle, they'll be here as well. We're running a little late today, but we'll hop in and play a couple extra. Who cares if it's late? It's fine. We got daylight savings. Everything's fine. Support us, won't you? Patreon.com/core show. That's Patreon.com/core show. It means a lot. We really appreciate your support. It especially helps at like events where we got to pay for a bunch of incidentals. And turns out your support helps us do that when we go to things like BlizzCon. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you haven't yet, consider it patreon.com/core show. We're at heroesforyou.com for everything else. And if you're looking for us online, you can find us on Twitter. Core Heroes for the show, John_Jagger for John, Scott Johnson for me, and Bo Schwartz for Bo. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John. See you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.